Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington, presented by EMP 1 Weight Loss, the standard for weight loss in the D.C. area. Their Alexandria location is now open and taking appointments. New spot in Ashburn, Virginia as well. It's Bish Cakes, EB, and JP. That's the foursome joining us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotlines. Our buddy John Keim covers the Redskins for ESPN.com. And Redskins fans were up in arms over the weekend because Bruce Allen, he's actually going to be in an expanded role. Can you fill us in, John?
This wasn't a surprise. This wasn't a surprise to me. So I'm not sure why so many people reacted the way they did.
Right.
With once La Famina was out, that kind of told you everything you needed to know.
Right.
So, and that happened a month ago or several weeks ago. So, I don't know what people were expecting. He's doing both sides now. So.
I don't think anybody was shocked. It just kind of reaffirms that, you know, Snyder is not going to make any major changes, you know, and he still has no clue what he's doing.
I think they were hoping that that stupid hashtag would move the needle. And of course it's not going to move the needle.
No, it's not going to move a needle. And, you know, I think, listen, I admire the passion of people who want change and want better because they should want better. I mean, what have they had? I mean, what was the stat? Like the last 20-some years, there's only been a couple teams that haven't made it to a conference final. Mm. And maybe in the NFC, then it's the Cowboys, Redskins, and Lions or something like that. I don't blame them for feeling that way. But, I think Twitter's influence only goes so far, unfortunately for them.
Yeah, it's like no but influence.
Very little. I mean, but I also think that some of this stuff caught them off guard as far as like the depths of how fans felt. I'm not sure why they were so, why they'd be caught off guard by it, because it's been, to me, it's been evident for more than a year that there's that fan unrest and that they want something better from here. So I don't blame people. I think it just maybe it reaffirmed to them that, yeah, nothing is going to happen. But, yeah, there was nothing that was going to happen. I mean, Bruce Allen has been involved in whatever meetings and interviews that are taking place. So I still think there could be some change out there, just not in the structure of the organization.
When's the last time Bruce and or Daniel Snyder spoke to the media?
Well, Bruce does one-on-ones at the owners' meetings, and then he'll hop on some, it feels like some random Yahoo or Sirius radio show once in a while, like at the combine or something like that. Mm-hmm. He has not done a press conference since right before Scott McLuhan was, or right before when Scott McLuhan was hired. So like the end of the season, of the 2014 season, which was a disastrous one for him. But part of that is because he doesn't do them. So every question gets asked, and there are a lot of questions and a lot of hard questions that have to be asked. And when you don't do press conferences, you get them all at once. And it feels like a, what the hell is going on here kind of situation for them. I don't remember the last time Dan Snyder did one. The last time I talked to him was for a story I did on Sean Taylor, the anniversary of his death. And that would have been like a year and a half ago when I talked to him, but that was just about Sean Taylor. But I don't remember the last time he did a press conference. It's been that long. And trust me when I say myself, and I know that everybody else who's covering, or, you know, most of the people covering this team are going to be requesting those guys and have requested them a number of times. And we're told the same thing every time, which is obviously no, but they have been requested. So, because I tell people the same thing. Like, I'm sitting at an airport, and a random fan, it just starts talking to me, and he's like, "I want to hear from those guys. I want to know what their plans are. I want to know what they're thinking, and why should fans, you know, believe that they're doing what is right? They want to know this stuff." So, you know, but it hasn't mattered.
Does Bruce Allen's distrust and disdain, obviously, for the media go back to one certain incident, or has it just been something that's been ingrained in him ever since he's been
here? Oh, I don't
know.
He'd have to answer that question. I can't. I know that press conference at the end of the 2014 season did not sit well with him. But, you know, and that's why he's just done a series. Like the last few years, the owners' meetings, he'll do one-on-ones with the local media there. So I think he just wants to avoid the press conference situation. Whatever his full answer would be for that, I don't know, because he hasn't told me.
All right, so let's talk about the coaching.
He'll never tell you.
The coaching situation.
No.
John, because this is fascinating, I think, to a lot of us. We had heard that there were going to be changes. We all sort of assumed the way it was looking that Jay was going to be able to stay, and then eventually they announced that. Then you kind of hear some weird rumors, rumblings, and maybe some guys, you know, interviewing on their own. Of course, that happened with our special teams guy. But no changes. I assumed there would be some defensive changes, and really, fair or unfair, I thought Minuski might be given the old hee-ho. It looks like at this point, he's going to be here, right? Because all the big guys.
I wouldn't go that far yet.
No.
Yeah, I don't think. I wouldn't say.
What's the holdup then?
I think they're still waiting for guys and doing it. I mean, it was, you know, so I'm not assuming anything at this point. Until a guy like Greg Williams is signed by the Jets, then he's still out there, you know. And how many other guys beyond that, I don't know. But
why such a passive way of doing it? Why not aggressively go after guys?
I mean, maybe they are. They're not sharing a lot of what they're going to do. And so you're kind of having to go, you know, find out in roundabout ways. And, you know, it sounds like there was interest in Todd Bowles.
Right.
And, you know, but he's not here. And it does sound like there's interest in Greg. I haven't been told there isn't, but until he's signed, he's still out there. So I don't know, like, by aggressive, I mean, if they're contacted and talking to them, I'm assuming that is what you need to do. But it's an odd thing because you do have a guy under contract, and you're kind of looking to see if you can find a better person for that job while this guy is under contract, which is, I don't know. I think that's an odd way to do things. I would think if you don't find someone who's better, what message is that sending, you know, to players that's like, well, you know, we're bringing this guy back. You know what I mean?
That's a bad look for everybody.
Yeah, I just find that it's a hard look because, like, do you have the full power now? Because now players know that, well, they were actually looking for someone better than you. The reality is they do that with a lot of players, too. But
right.
So as far as how aggressive, you know, we'll find out. I mean, I know, you know, it sounds like the Joe Woods, the guy from Denver, is looking here or a couple other teams. So, you know, we'll see. I think it'll be interesting to see what happens if Greg Williams doesn't go to the Jets, to see if they would then go hard after him. You know, so I still think, like, there, I don't know what changes will be in the end run. But I know that I don't believe that anything is settled just yet.
I feel like we're the last team, like all the other teams that are going to make major coordinator changes or head coach changes, obviously, that those have occurred. We're the only one that's sort of in this limbo.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's just awful.
Here's the other thing, too.
Well, the Dolphins haven't hired a coach, and the Bengals haven't hired a coach.
But at least you know they're looking.
And there's still teams that are, you know, obviously competing in the playoffs. Yeah. But there's still teams competing in the playoffs. The other thing you have to keep in mind, too, is how attractive is this job?
That's terrible.
Another coordinator. Yeah. That's not a knock. It's not even a knock on the Redskins, per se, as much as it is a situation, because you have a head coach going into his sixth year who there were some questions about him at the end of the year. So if you don't win next year, what do you think's going to happen? You know, now, I mean, I would have thought, then it's like, well, okay, who's the quarterback? And even though you're a defensive coordinator that's not on your side of the ball, it does affect your job. And you don't know who that person is, too. So I think it's a harder sell than it has been in a while for those reasons. So I think that's going to be a sticking point for anybody as well. I mean, it would be for me if I were in that spot, unless you just come here and thinking, well, this is my best shot, or you look at this group and say, well, even if it doesn't work, I know I can do something with this group because look at the defensive line, you know, and so there's certain things you can sell, but I think it's a harder sell because of the situation.
All right.
Have you asked anybody over there how Alex is doing, like how the recovery is going and when they think he'll actually start the rehab process?
I know that, like, I had something, I talked to Jay Gruden about that before the end of the season, and at that point they know that it's a really long road, and they, you know, they're still not sure what is going to go on there. So nobody has said that, well, he's not going to come back this year. I think a lot of it is, well, you know, some of what you get is, well, if anybody can do it, Alex can, which is a credit to Alex Smith, but it also tells you the long road that he faces. Right. It tells you the long road he faces. So, you know, to me, what they have to do is plan, especially for this year, plan for life without Alex Smith this year, at least, you know, and if he comes back, that's great, you know, that's the update would be that he still faces a long road.
Yep. Is this as bleak? I mean, you've covered this team for years, right? More than a decade. Is this as bleak as you can remember it? Pretty bleak. We've got no quarterback.
It's bleak. It is bleak in that sense.
No one's going to the games.
But as far as the overall package, because the fan unrest.
Yeah.
Because there have been other times where, you know, when I'll go way back to when Trent Green left. And I remember that offseason, it was when their team was still up for sale, and Trent Green leaves, and they trade for Brad Johnson, and people are thinking they're going to go 3-13, and then they go 10-6. But there was that was just more from a, you know, where the talent level they thought was, but the fan unrest was different, and like, you know, they get rid of their really good coach and a great situation with Marty Schottenheimer, and then they bring in Spurrier, and people are excited because it's Spurrier. You know, then you bring in Gibbs, so it's, you know, they're always able to do something to capture that fan base to say that, okay, this is going to be better because. But this offseason is hard because the fan unrest is unlike anything that I've seen.
Right.
And I think that's obvious just when you look at what's going on with the games. And I would say, too, like, you look around the NFL and there's a lot of challenges selling tickets to home games, but it was different this year here. I mean, there were still a lot of people going to the away games in Redskins stuff.
Right.
So I think, you know, obviously the fan base is still there, but when you look at the overall package, I mean, the stuff that you see on social media, you know, I've been hearing this for more than a year where it's like either they're saying they're done or how exhausted they are or whatever. So now social media didn't exist back before, but you're certainly getting a lot of it now.
Definitely get a taste.
And so, yeah, so it is a, you know, I think it's not the best situation that I've seen.
All right, yeah. John, appreciate the time as always. That's John Keim, covers the Redskins for ESPN.com.
Thank you, John. Thanks, appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Do the fire Bruce Allen hashtaggers, do they just continue?
I think it continues to this day.
Sure.
It's just a waste of breath and typing.
Exactly. But everyone thinks they're so powerful. Right. And you're not. Your dumb hashtag is meaningless.
They don't care.
Whether you buy the jersey or not is meaningless. They get $500 million, whatever they get from the TV deal.
They were down 19% in terms of ticket sales this year.
And it changed nothing.
Yeah, somebody somebody tweeted over the weekend, or maybe before the weekend, that Daniel Snyder and Bruce Allen are very aware of the hashtag movement, and they simply don't care.
Of course they don't care.
They don't care about you. They don't care about you.
They don't.
They don't. They certainly do not.
The money keeps coming.
They look at their portfolios and they laugh.
Yeah.
I had heard from a pretty good source that the only way they were going to keep Minuski was if they had a co-defensive coordinator. So maybe they're going to bring someone in and they're kind of going to partner it up.
Because that'll be fun, having a co-guy. Yeah. That'll try to figure out
what. No, but it would be typical Redskins to do that.
Right.
Well, didn't Alabama have co-offensive coordinators? Wasn't Locksley a co-offensive coordinator with that other guy?
With Enos?
Yeah.
And Enos?
Think so.
Maybe, but I think Locksley. I mean, you can only have one guy calling the plays.
I always say this. I've been saying this for a couple of weeks, but I'm going to repeat it. The problem wasn't the defense. Their offense is putrid.
Their offense was putrid, but the defense, you know, was supposed to be what was going to lead them after the first 7 or 8 games. And the defense is what fell apart.
The middle of the pack defense.
Well, the offense,
which was an improvement
the
overall.
The offense was bad. I mean, it was even bad when Alex was in there, but they were 6-3.
Yeah. Also, when they knew they had to play perfect defense just to keep them in every single game,
they're not good enough.
But I'll speak for John. As a Redskins fan, this is as bleak as I've ever felt, ever. And we have some talent. There's some talent there. It's just that the fan feeling for the organization, just the lack of hope.
It's cumulative.
It's just,
The snowball has been rolling downhill for 20-plus years now.
You're beaten down by the Redskins.
Oh, yeah.
It's 20-plus years.
And just bringing Joe Gibbs out to the last home game, that ain't going to solve
it. No, not good
enough. I'd say it was somewhat bleak when Shanahan, like his final year, fell apart.
Right.
And RG3 got hurt.
It was.
Like all the hope was gone on the RG3
front. By the way, horrible story that J.D. Gibbs passed away over the weekend.
Yeah, it's awful. Terrible. Only 49 years old. Neurological disorder. They never really could diagnose it.
Yeah, I didn't even know he was sick.
No, there had been a deterioration for a few years.
I didn't know that. And I met him a couple times, too. Mm-hmm. Real nice guy. Mm-hmm.
Everybody said they loved him.
I was shocked when I saw that.
Yeah, it was a terrible story.
All right, coming up at 9 o'clock, Ian Eagle's going to join us. We will talk NFL playoffs with him, and we'll get the latest on the Bryce Harper sweepstakes from Bob Nightingale from USA Today at 9:20 here on The Junkies. Oh, oh,
oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.